My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. It's part of the Secret Recordings Network. Welcome to a brand new episode. More Disney memories to share. We'll chat to Katie, her love of Disney World, on this podcast. Everything you need to know if you're heading over to the parks, and your questions if you want to give me a follow on the socials at Pod Magical is where I am. Callum has sent me a message. He wants to ask him for a little bit of advice. He says, I know, Andy, that you're an annual pass holder. Thinking about getting an annual pass, when is it worth it? Well, Callum, here's the thing. I've been doing the maths on this. Now, I am a DVC member. I've got Disney Vacation Club, which means I can get the Florida resident ticket, which is a little bit cheaper. And because I'm a DVC member, it means I can go a few times throughout the year. So that's why being an annual pass holder currently is working out for me. Although my annual pass is going to finish at the end of September, and I've got a trip coming up for a couple of weeks in September, and then I may not go for like another year. So I'm probably not going to renew it for a year because I'm not going to be using my DVC points. So we'll see how that goes, because they get you because they go, well, if you renew your annual pass, it's 10% cheaper. So you're kind of in a trap. But if you're just getting the normal annual pass and you're not a DVC member from the UK, the only one you can get is the IncrediPass, which is $1,629 plus tax. Now, you know, here in the UK, we've got a really good deal. That 14-day ticket is really good. And that in dollars varies between $700 up to $900. Obviously, you buy it in pounds, but in dollars, just to compare between that and an annual pass. So it is a lot cheaper than an annual pass. So really, you're going to need to go probably twice in the 12 months that an annual pass lasts to get the value out of it. So a couple of long visits a year, maybe it is worth getting an annual pass. Of course, with your annual pass, you'll get discounts on food and merchandise, and I think free parking as well with an annual pass at the parks. You do still have to make your park passes, though, if you've got an annual pass. 14-day UK ticket, you just go where you want, when you want. Annual pass is slightly different. You have to make sure you've booked into a park every day before you get in. And once you've got in there, you can go into another one. So, a couple of long visits a year, unless you're thinking of getting DVC as well, Callum. An annual pass and DVC. That'll be an expensive trip. Any questions? Drop me a message at PodMagical. And let's welcome Katie onto this episode of the podcast.
Thank you, Andy.
So why do you love Walt Disney World? What is it that keeps drawing you back time after time?
I think it's the pure magic, and that it caters for so many different people who enjoy so many different parts of it. Really just got something for everybody, whether you want like thrill rides or just love the characters or love the films or love the food. It really just covers everything. And it's one of the only places that you go where everybody is so happy.
Yeah.
Even the staff, they're all so lovely and they just all seem to really enjoy their job. And I think there's just nowhere else like it, which has that magic, happy feeling that really just spreads across anybody who sets foot in the park.
And what I love, you said it is on a message to me, actually, when you said about one of my favourite hobbies is planning and researching Disney trips. So even
Absolutely.
When you're not there, the holiday goes on. It's like a 24/7 every single day of the year holiday, isn't it, when you go to Disney World?
Totally. It just takes up so much of my headspace. It's a bit mad. but it keeps you happy when you're not there, because there's always things to think about and things to plan. And there's so many different things that you can do that I just can't imagine it ever ending.
Isn't that a great thing, though, to fill your headspace? Then you're not worrying about mortgages or what's going on in the news. Just think about Disney. Let's listen to podcasts. Let's watch YouTube.
Absolutely. It keeps it all nice and light and happy for your everyday to day life when we can't be in the magic.
So what do you remember about the first ever time you went to Disney World, Katie?
Very little. I was two.
Okay.
So it had been 1988. So I've seen photos and I've heard stories, but I can't have any actual memories of it. I know we stayed at the Caribbean Beach Resort, which my dad always says we have to say the Caribbean Beach Resort, because apparently that's what they all said then. Right. And I've seen pictures of me meeting like the princesses, and I love Cinderella as a child, so with Cinderella and things like that, but I have no real memories of it. And then I went again when I was 7, and I have a few more memories of that.
So that was your princess era then, I guess, when you were 7?
Absolutely. Pure princess. Like, I just absolutely love Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast as well. Little Mermaid, apart from Ursula, she scared me too much. yeah, so I have a few more memories of that one, and I can remember some of the rides and things like that from that trip.
Now, the last trip you went on, though, was that the first time you took your children?
Yes, yeah, so and that was the first time I went, and as an adult as well. So that was my third trip there. We went in 2024, and my children at that point were 5, and my eldest had his 9th birthday there.
So were you waiting for them to be a certain age before you went? Because a lot of people ask me that, going, what age should go? We could take them when they're really like, you went when you were 2, and like, it's not going to cost as much, but will they remember it? And so did you particularly wait for them to hit certain ages?
Yeah, we did. We wanted Monty, my youngest, to kind of be old enough to enjoy the rides with his brother, because otherwise I feel like we've got like a 3.5-year age gap. We didn't want Teddy to be doing all of the fun stuff and Monty sort of being stuck doing the not quite so fun stuff.
Oh yeah, because that would have been a disaster, wouldn't it?
Exactly. If we're taking Teddy on all the big rides and he can't do anything,
yeah.
And I thought it wouldn't have been so great. And we went with, so my husband came with us, obviously, and then my mum and dad, and then my husband's mum as well. So we knew we wanted to do like this big family trip all together. Because my husband's last time he went was also when he was 7.
Oh, right. So he's been a few, he wasn't dragged against his own will.
No,
he's
not
a
at all.
Disney fan as well.
No, not at all. We'd always talked about taking the boys, and it was going to be like a once in a lifetime magical trip. And then as soon as we were there, we're like, we need to come back.
Of course. Yeah. It's never once in a lifetime, Katie. You know, this is your third time.
Exactly.
So what was the thought process behind planning that one then? How did you choose when to go, where to stay, who to fly with?
So we wanted to go in the October half term, which happens to be when my son's birthday was. So it was quite nice to kind of add that in as a celebration as well. I wanted to go when it wasn't too hot, but the weather was still nice. I feel like going in the summer period would just be too hot when they're still quite little, to be kind of walking around in, you know, 30 degree heat wasn't going to be ideal for us. And, we were going to do like Disney and Universal. And then we also had a week in Florida Keys as well at the end of our Disney trip. So it was a full on 3-week holiday. So we wanted to do a bit of both. And yeah, we kind of left it. We didn't realize how early you have to book these things. And at the Christmas, we were all together as a family and we were like, oh, we can start looking into it. Called Disney to find out availability for places with 3 rooms. And they were like, oh, there's not that many dates left in October. So it was a bit of a case of where we could get on property for 3 rooms that decided where we stayed. And the only place that had it was the beach club, Disney Beach Club.
Oh, so wow. You pushed the
button
out there.
So that was where we booked.
Wow. Well, why not?
Exactly. So it was a bit more of a splurge than we had originally planned, but it was definitely worth it. And it was an amazing hotel to stay at. It was really beautiful. The pool, the location, the rooms were amazing. Yeah, it was really, really good. So I would.
And you're literally on the doorstep to Epcot. You literally,
exactly.
There's a door that walks into Epcot almost, isn't there?
Yeah, you're just 2 minutes away from going into Epcot. We got the boat to Hollywood Studios. It was just perfect. We really, really loved that area. And one of the absolute highlights, which sounds really silly, but was so magical, was in the lift. It's the character voices saying the floor numbers.
Yeah.
And the boys just thought that was the best thing ever. And now whenever we're in a lift, we do like a Mickey Mouse voice for any floor numbers. And that's something that's really stuck with us as like a core memory of Mickey saying the 4th floor every time.
So was the lift the best attraction that you went to for your time at Disney World? Just riding up and down.
That's the one that we always talk about the most, probably.
Money well spent, though. Money well spent, Katie. And you've got that lazy river there as well in the pool. Did you spend a lot of time around there?
Yeah, we had quite a lot of afternoons in the pool. There was the lazy river over sort of the shallow pool area as well. There was a really nice sort of beach area for children to play in the sand. There was also like a the incredible slide, obviously, which was really, really good, which was really nice. And I know that everyone says over the summer period it gets really busy, but we didn't find that at all in October. It was never a problem to get a bed in the afternoon. It was just perfect. Really nice place to go and relax and chill out a bit after a park morning.
Because I think American schools must still be in, because I don't think they do like half terms, do they?
I know, no,
they go,
I don't
back
think
August,
so.
And then it's the spring break's a big one. So I think towards the end of the year, it's kind of end of August, September, October, it's usually quiet. And then obviously Christmas gets busy again with school kids from America.
Yeah, we didn't find it crowded in that pool area at all. It was because beforehand I'd looked at booking like the little cabanas and things, worrying about getting a space, but it really was not a problem. It was really lovely to just have that massive pool area to relax in. And there's a pool table as well there. So my eldest made friends with a little American boy and they spent some time playing pool together as well.
Oh, excellent. So of your three trips so far to Walt Disney World, because I know you've got another one coming for your 40th, which we'll talk about later. Do you have a particular favourite standout Walt Disney World memory from any of the times you've been?
So from the last time I went, it was getting to Magic Kingdom for the first time with the children. It was a random early entry time of 7:30 a.m.
Oh.
So I know, I don't know if it's because it was a Mickey Not So Scary party in the evening.
Maybe, yeah.
And we got there about 7:15 and it was still kind of dark. And just as we were getting let through, it was just starting to get light. So it was just like that beautiful sunrise light. And everything, where they clean everything every morning, everything's like wet and glistening. And as we walked in and rounded the corner to see the castle and had all the pumpkins out for October Halloween decorations, and it was just like absolute magic. And I got quite tearful at that moment. That was beautiful. And because I don't know that there many people knew that it was such early entry that day, we had ridden 7 rides before 7:30 a.m. No,
wow.
Before, sorry, 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
We got in at 7:30. We'd ridden 7 rides before 9:30.
Yeah, because it's usually Animal Kingdom's 7:30. This is for resort guests. And then it's usually 8:30, isn't it, for Magic Kingdom. But like you say, if there's a party on that night, Halloween or Christmas, maybe they do open a little bit early. So spotting that.
It was just because I checked the times on the app. So I think, yeah, we really lucked out. So it's definitely worthwhile. If you think you kind of know, it's always worthwhile just double checking the times on the app to see the exact park opening times. Because we'd just done so much. We had a lightning lane book for Tron. And we'd already done 7 things before that lightning name even came up. It was amazing.
Back with Katie in just a moment. Have a news update for you, first of all. It's the one we're waiting for. A lot of people wait all year for this. Free dining will be back next year. So bookings for 2027, if you want the free dining plan, you can start booking from the 21st of April. So just over a week from when this podcast is released. I notice on some of the bookings as well, it's advertising you'll get a free minivan transfer from the airport. I assume that's on the more deluxe hotels, but that's a great thing if you get that for free, because that's expensive. So free dining from the 21st of April. Big Thunder Mountain will reopen on the 3rd of May this year. We had that announcement a few days ago, and the height requirement has dropped slightly, a couple of inches shorter now. You have to be 38 inches or above to ride Big Thunder. It's been closed now for 60 months for new tracks and cars and the Rainbow Cave. So 3rd of May, maybe some previews before that. We've also got details of pass holder days. We mentioned at the beginning of the podcast about annual pass holders at Disney World. Pass holder days runs for a few weeks from the 1st of May. So there'll be a pass holder magnet, a pass holder lounge at Epcot, and some special dining like 40% off Tusker House and 20% off Crystal Palace and things like that if you're an annual pass holder. Bluey is coming to the Animal Kingdom. We know this from May the 26th. It's going to be over at Conservation Station, which means Rafiki's Planet Watch will get a new name. It's going to be renamed as Bluey's Wild World. And if you've got a Bluey fan, I think you're going to have to be patient, because that, to get there, you've got to get on the train over to the conservation station. I think it could be crazy busy. There's no other way of getting there than getting on the train. I think there's going to be big lines for that with a lot of strollers. Just watch that. And otherwise, we know that the new Buzz Lightyear attraction has reopened. I say new. It's had a refurb, quite a lengthy refurb over at Tomorrowland at Magic Kingdom. But Buzz is back. If there's any more news between now and the next podcast, I'll update you on the socials at Pod Magical. Katie is with us on this episode of the podcast. So I briefly mentioned earlier on, you are going back to Walt Disney World this year again because it's your big 4-0.
Absolutely, yes.
You're going to be there for your actual birthday, on your birthday?
No, I'm not, because my birthday's in July and we did look at possibly going, but I just think the weather is going to be too much for us, and it's actually more expensive than going in October. So we are going back in October again. We loved the Halloween decorations, and we're hoping this time to do the Mickey Not So Scary party.
But you can still make sure you're celebrating your 40th. You can get the pin badge and maybe matching t-shirts.
Absolutely. I'm going to have some sort of 40 Mickey ears on.
Yeah.
I'm planning a my birthday t-shirt. I'm going to go all out 100%.
Have you got anything particularly booked that you want to do for your 40th?
I really want to go to Topolino's for character breakfast.
Book it early, yeah. Get in early.
Yeah, I will do. We went there for dinner and we loved it. It's a beautiful location. The restaurant's really nice, but we really want to go and see Mickey and Minnie there in their outfits. And so that's one that I really wanted to do. And then also I really want to go to, I think it's called, what is it, Waialulu Grill?
Yes, the Waialulu Bar and Grill at Poly. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I saw that on a vlog the other day, and the food there just looks incredible. It looks really, really good. And I thought if we can try and get a reservation to time it with watching the fireworks from Magic Kingdom as well, that would be really special.
Yeah, great burger there. Probably one of the best burgers you can get at Disney World at Waialulu Lounge. I like going there in the afternoon because you're not far from Magic Kingdom. Just pop out, because obviously they've got the restaurant and they've got the bar. And if you can get in the bar in the afternoon when there's nobody, and you can get the little sofas and sit by the water, and if you could time it during the thunderstorm where you can sit and watch the rain, oh, it's perfect.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really nice. A nice little comfort stop in the middle of a Magic Kingdom day. That sounds perfect.
And Topolino's Terrace, I know it's classed as breakfast, but if you can get as late a reservation as possible, you can push it to like a very early lunchtime, which I like doing as well because I like the steak and eggs there.
I have seen the photos of the steak and eggs, which look very good. Yeah, I think that's I'm a bit addicted to looking at the different menus on the app, and already planning what I'm going to eat at each place before I've even got a booking there.
Yeah, you spend all your time looking at the menus. You know exactly what you want to eat, and then when you get there, you stare at the menu again, just in case you change your mind, even though you know exactly what you wanted to eat about 6 months ago.
Absolutely. I'm planning breakfast, lunch and dinner for every day already.
Have you got free dining next time you go?
No, we haven't. Right. We found we didn't really eat that much during the day. We got a delivery to the hotel of like snacks and breakfast bits and pieces.
Good plan.
We sort of took bits and pieces throughout the day with us and then did evening dinners. But we didn't. I feel like we really missed out on the park snacking as well. There's a lot of park snacks that I'm planning on doing next time. I think because we were there for the first time with the children, we were so trying to get the characters done, the rides done, that this time I want to slow it down a little bit and do those more kind of different bits and pieces. I want to try the spring rolls.
Yeah.
I want a margarita in Epcot from the Mexican area. Those kind of things that we missed out on last time because we were trying to get all the rides in.
Yeah, do less, but you'll actually do more sometimes when you just slow it down. As we are talking about food, have you got any particular favourite places to eat from your visits?
So like Topolino's, I said, dinner there was just magical. It was so good. The service was incredible. I still think about this amazing starter I had, which was like this beautiful ricotta with tomatoes. It was just absolutely outstanding. And then we watched the Epcot fireworks from out on the balcony as well. That was the first firework display we'd seen at Disney, and the boys were mesmerized, and this lovely lady came over and gave them both Mickey ears.
Oh.
And she said, and I gave them back to her after the display. And she was like, no, 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 this is me pixie dusting you. She was like, they can have them. And I just said like to them, oh, we're so lucky. This is just such a special place.
It's lovely. Yeah. And in terms of attractions, favourite attractions?
Oh, it's really hard. There's just so many. Ride wise, Guardians. We love Guardians. We did that twice.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Just the music, the ride, the lead up to it, just really, really good. And then we also really loved Mission Space, which I know not everyone gets on with.
Yeah, a lot of people just end up vomiting on that.
Yeah, we loved it. I think we did that 3 times. And that was really, really good. I just never experienced anything, the G-force feel. I've never had anything like that before in any other ride. So that was incredible. We really enjoyed that one too. And then I just loved Fantasmic as well.
Yeah.
It got me so emotional when the Beauty and the Beast came round on the boat and the music started. I just started crying. Teddy and Monty were like, "Mummy, why are you crying? You're supposed to be happy." And I said, "Oh, this is happy tears. These are happy tears because it just reminds me of being little."
Yeah, yeah. And were you looking at them as well, enjoying it? When you start watching it through their eyes, that gets you emotional.
Absolutely. They're just amazed. It's like nothing you can ever experience. We've seen fireworks in this country. We've seen fireworks on holidays. But the displays and the shows there are just something else. And you think they just do them every day, and they're every single day, they're just outstanding. Things like the Lion King show as well. It's like going to watch something in the West End.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so incredible. We loved that one too. So I think those three would be my top ones.
What were the boys' favourite things to do? Did they say anything particularly they really enjoyed?
We all loved Guardians. I think as a family, that was probably our top. We also really loved Everest.
Yeah.
That was really good. Monty was only 5 when we went, and we weren't sure whether he was going to be quite tall enough for a lot of the rides. And we had brought him new trainers just before we left.
Yeah.
And they were the Nike Air Force Ones, which have got a slight wedge. And it wasn't even planned. We didn't even consider it. We just thought they were really cool trainers. And both the boys had matching new Nikes.
Yeah.
And it meant that he could get on Space Mountain, Everest, Mission Space, Guardians, which we weren't sure whether he was going to make it. The only ride that he couldn't go on was Tron.
Right.
But he'd never been on any other roller coaster or anything like that before. And his first roller coaster was Space Mountain.
Well, what's a baptism of fire, isn't it?
Exactly. Why not? Exactly. And he came off and he went, "Can we go again?"
So you're like, that's all right. We're all right here.
We rode it back to back because it was our early entry morning at Magic Kingdom, and we did it twice in a row. It was incredible.
And this year, will he be tall enough to do Tron when you go back in October?
He has got 5 centimetres to grow.
Okay. So, keep feeding him.
Yeah, we keep saying, like, just keep eating your vegetables, eating your fruit. We might have to do some stretching exercises.
Get him suspended from like a big bar, you know, you just hang.
Yeah, hang him down. One. Yeah, to get him to doing some pull-ups and hang himself off a big pull-up bar. So hopefully he'll get to do Tron, because sad to miss out on that. Because he's watched videos and things of it. And obviously his big brother got to go on it. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, boys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there anything that they've got rid of from when you went as a little girl? You don't remember it when you were 2, but when you were 7, like you went back and you go, "Oh, it's a shame that's not there anymore."
Not really. I think one of the main things that I remember is the parades. And I feel like when I was there, when I was little, there was more characters just sort of wandering around.
Yeah.
And in the parades, it was a bit less sort of structured, and the characters would sort of come over and interact with you. Whereas now I feel you've got the cast members walking alongside them. So it's not quite got that sort of closeness anymore. And you have to queue up to meet the characters. And I can understand why, because it's a lot busier than I'm sure it ever was when I was little. But I think, I think that kind of more casual character meet and greets that I kind of can remember just wandering around, and suddenly there was a princess there that you could just walk up to and speak to. And obviously that's not quite the same anymore. So I think that's a shame. But it's just not possible. I can understand why.
What did you enjoy outside of Disney? You said you went to a few places. You said you went to Florida Keys.
Yeah, we went to Florida Keys for a week after our Disney stay, which was lovely. It was really nice just to have like a week to relax. We just spent a lot of time by the pool, on the beach, sort of resting and recovering a little bit. We also did a 1 day at Universal Studios, which was really good. My eldest absolutely loved the rides there. We didn't know how he was going to do with them, but he was on Hulk. He did, what's the dinosaur one called? Velocicoaster. He did Hagrid's. He did all of them and he loved it, so he's definitely a big thrill seeker. And we also went to the Kennedy Space Center. That was his request for his 9th birthday, so we spent his birthday at the Kennedy Space Center.
Cool.
Which was an amazing day. I it was amazing how interactive it is. I thought it might be sort of a bit of one of those ones that you kind of wander around and have to read things, and but there was just so much to do.
I haven't been for a long time, but it's last time I went, I remember just how massive everything was and how spread out everything is. You have to get little buses from one part to another part, don't you?
Yeah, so you get on this coach and it does this big trip around to see all the buildings and where the space shuttle is and everything like that. It's just, yeah, it was incredible. You know, I kind of thought, because we'd had transport arranged to pick us up and drop us off, and I thought, oh, this is a very long day. Actually, you need a full day there. You really do. There's so much to see and to take in and so much to do. It was brilliant.
So did you hire a car when you were in Florida to get you from Disney down to the Keys?
Yes, we did. Yeah, yeah. We had a car for us and the children, and then my mum, dad, and Stu's mum had a car for them. So we drove down to the Keys, which was a long drive, but...
Yeah. What a beautiful drive.
It was a beautiful drive. Yeah. And Monty slept pretty much for 6 hours straight. He was so tired from Disney. He slept the whole drive and on the way back to the airport. I think if we were going to do a beach holiday after Disney again, I think we'd probably go sort of Clearwater, or is it Anna Maria Island?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Somewhere a little bit closer.
Yeah. Or maybe a Disney cruise.
I am desperate to do a Disney cruise. I said to my husband, I was like, maybe we could just tag on a little 3-day cruise at the end. One day, maybe.
Yeah, keep your eye on the sale, because quite often, especially the ones from Florida, from Port Canaveral, the nearer you get to the time, there's some discounts on there at the minute. Disney Wish, the 3 and 4. I know Disney Wish is coming to the UK next year, but it just feels much cheaper to sail from Florida unless you're over there. Then you can do the Disney transfers from your hotel, so that makes it easier. If I was to give you your perfect Walt Disney World day, Katie, how would you spend it? What are we doing?
Ooh, so I think I would wake up in Animal Kingdom Lodge with a savannah view room, obviously.
Oh, obviously. Not the car park.
No, not the car park. Wake up, have a look at the animals, have a little coffee, sat on the balcony, watching the animals around. And then we would go to Animal Kingdom. We would have to ride Everest and we'd do the safari. And then we would hop over to the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
We would do Space Mountain. We'd do Tron. We would get some spring rolls over there as well as a little morning snack. And then from there, I'm going to do all four parks, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. It's too hard to choose otherwise. And then from there, I think we'd go across to Epcot. We would do Guardians and Soarin'. Maybe have a quick trip to the Mexico Pavilion, get a margarita.
Yep.
And then walk around to the boardwalk, get a slice of pizza from there for lunch. Maybe get the boat across to Hollywood Studios. Have a quick ride on Slinky Dog Dash. And then go across to Galaxy's Edge. The children are big Star Wars fans, so I don't think I'd be allowed to go to Hollywood Studios without doing a ride on the Millennium Falcon ride.
Go see Grogu now as well. He's going to be on there.
Oh, I know. That's going to be amazing. They love him. I want to get them one of those little shoulder pals to wear. I've seen them. They're like with a little tiny baby Grogu. It looks so cute. And then from Hollywood Studios, I think we then go, like I was saying earlier, I would really want to go to the Waialulu Grill. So head over to Polynesian, where we've luckily had all of our bags delivered and we're going to be staying there that night.
Yeah, well, they'll do that for you. Disney will move your bags, so that's fine.
Absolute dream. And we'd have our dinner at the Waialulu Grill, and then we would obviously have a water bungalow to stay in that night. Why not? Why not? It's a special day.
Yeah.
And we would head to our water bungalow. We'd have a little dip in the pool there while we watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks. That would be an absolute dream.
I would love to do it. If anybody can fix that for us, we could just one night in one of those bungalows, just to sit in the hot tub and watch the fireworks and the and the water parade going past. Ah,
it looks amazing. I think it was Painting Mr. Morrow I was watching, and he had done that with his friends, and I just thought, wow, this is the pinnacle of Disney, isn't it?
Well, I have looked into it. Yeah, because it's the DVC properties. Now, I do have DVC, and you get a number of points every year, but for the points that I've got for the year, wouldn't even get me one night at that bungalow.
Really? Oh, God.
Or maybe it would, maybe I could find one night somewhere, but... Yeah.
We need a lottery win.
Yeah, that's we can dream. Well, not long before you're going back, I say, not long. You can start preparations now and making restaurant reservations soon and then, you know, getting excited for October.
Absolutely. I've got a list on the go of all the things we want to do. Every time Excellent. I see or hear something, I add it to the list and then we'll go through and make a plan from there.
Get in Wailulu, get that margarita from Epcot, spring rolls, Magic Kingdom.
Definitely.
What a win. Lovely chatting to you, Katie. And have a magical day.
Thank you very much, Andy. Lovely to speak to you.
We are looking for new podcast guests. In fact, you could be on our next podcast if you want, if you fancy it, coming on for a chat about Disney World. Just get in touch at PodMagical. If you think, I've never been on a podcast before, I don't know what to do, just chat about Disney World. Literally, that's it. Send me a message. We'll sort it out. If you fancy coming on the podcast, at PodMagical. If you are heading over to Walt Disney World or Orlando over the next few weeks, maybe this weekend, you've missed the spring break crowds. Maybe this weekend you might get the tail end of it, but it really will ease off. However, next weekend, there is another Run Disney event. The 16th to the 20th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are the events. There's a 5K, a 10K, and then a 10 mile on the Sunday. It's the Run Disney springtime event. So it still will be quite busy. I mentioned a few podcasts ago that I went during a Run Disney event, and on the Saturday night, the fireworks were really quiet because everybody doing the Run Disney has to be up really early. This one, probably not as much because they're shorter runs. It's not like a marathon or a half marathon. So it'll probably still be busy, even in the evenings as well. But just be aware of that. There's a Run Disney event happening 16th to the 20th. Meanwhile, Food and Wine Festival continues at Epcot. No, it's not the Food and Wine, is it? It's the Flower and Garden. It's like the Food and Wine, but with topiaries. Basically, it's the same. Some live music at Epcot as part of the Garden Rocks. You've got Rick Springfield, who sang Jessie's Girl, on the 12th and 13th of this month. Berlin, who did Take My Breath Away from Top Gun, 17th and 18th. And then the Commodores, but not Lionel Richie. He's not there. It's just the Commodores. 19th and 20th of April at Epcot. Meanwhile, SeaWorld have got their Seven Seas Music Festival on, Seven Seas Food Festival. Live music there over the next couple of weekends from The Fray, who did How to Save a Life, and also Uncle Cracker. Now, I remember the name Uncle Cracker, but I can't remember the song. But that's happening over at SeaWorld. Meanwhile, if you fancy some more live music, there's a Disney girl coming to Orlando in a few days' time. Demi Lovato, currently on a big American tour. She's on at Orlando's Kia Center on Monday, 13th of April. So plenty going on over the next few weeks. If you go in, tag me in your pictures. Maybe then come on the podcast and chat about it at PodMagical. Let's finish the episode with a top tip. Now, I've seen this on socials over the last couple of months. So if you have seen this, let me know. If you've got any videos of it, send them over. But apparently, some of the characters ride Dumbo early in the morning. So you might see Donald, Daisy, Goofy on the Dumbo attraction. Between 9:30 and 10 in the morning seems to be when they are doing it. This is not guaranteed. It's one of those spontaneous character moments. But you could see some of your Disney friends riding the iconic Dumbo attraction. So get around there about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and maybe you can see them for yourselves. Take pictures, take videos, send them over. There's a top tip for this episode. Anything else that happens between now and our next episode in 2 weeks' time, don't forget, we've got a brand new episode every fortnight. Then be first to know. In fact, the best thing to do, subscribe to the podcast, follow us on the socials at PodMagical. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.